Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM, and we are continuing our discussion of The Miracle of Forgiveness, a book written by the 12th president of the Mormon Church, Spencer W. Kimball, and a book that has been highly recommended in General Conference to members of the LDS Church as a good outline or a good template as to what is required of a Latter-day Saint if they hope to receive exaltation or godhood in the next life. We've been looking at chapter 4 these past couple days, and we want to end it today before we go into chapter 5. And we want to start off with vulgarity. Vulgarity. What does he say right off the bat when it comes to this?
Well, he calls it filthy communication. Okay. And he says it could be foolish talking, profanity, taking the Lord's name in vain, and also mentions pornography. Here.
Okay, well, I don't think there would be a lot of disagreement between us on that. Certainly, there should be a holy conversation that comes out of the lips of professing Christians. And especially if you're around non-believers, I would hope that you're not emulating a lot of the talk that you hear a lot of them say. I just can't get over the way communication has broken down over recent years. Well, he goes on to tweak this, and he starts about filthy communication, and then he says, in the category of taking the name of the Lord in vain, we might include the use of unauthorized persons of the name of deity in performing ordinances. The use by unauthorized persons of the name of deity in performing ordinances. And he goes on to say, in modern scripture, the Lord warned, wherefore let all men beware how they take my name in their lips. For behold, verily I say that many there be who are under this condemnation, who use the name of the Lord and use it in vain, not having authority. Quoting from Doctrine and Covenants, well, section 63, 61 through 62.
Well, Bill, who's the people he's talking about who do not have authority?
Well, obviously, he's referring to those who profess to be Christians but are not a part of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, because they would argue that one of the proofs of this complete apostasy that they believe in is the loss of this priesthood authority. And they claim they alone have this priesthood authority. He goes on page 55.
This is what it says. Presumptuous and blasphemous are they who purport to baptize, bless, marry, or perform other sacraments in the name of the Lord, while in fact lacking his specific authorization. And no one can obtain God's authority from reading the Bible or from just a desire to serve the Lord, no matter how pure his motives. This sounds to me, Bill, like the first vision account where God told Joseph Smith, supposedly, that none of them were true, that they were all false.
Well, and I think this should be a lesson to a lot of us as Bible-believing Christians who think that there's nothing wrong with standing side by side as quote-unquote fellow believers or fellow Christians. Remember, this is exactly what the Mormon people think of us from their world view. They may say that we are allowed to use, how nice of them that we can use the word Christian when we've been using it a lot longer than them, but still they are thinking that we are actually blasphemous in the notion that we can baptize, marry, bless, or perform any other sacrament in the name of the Lord. They look at that, listen carefully, folks, as blasphemous and presumptuous.
And it's because, Christian, you do not have the Aaronic and Melchizedek priesthoods. You do not have direct authority that goes back to Joseph Smith receiving this back when he started this church. And this is a very important part of why we can't hold Mormonism to be Christian, because they do not hold to the basics of our faith, as we've talked about before. And here, they don't acknowledge us.
What I find really strange about this, well, not, I probably shouldn't find it strange, but somewhat ironic, is that this statement is in the category of vulgarity.
Yeah.
Kimball actually looks at it as being vulgar that we would think that we could baptize someone or marry someone or claim to have any sort of authority from God. He looks at that as being actually vulgar. And I think, Christian, we need to understand how serious that is. It's not something to be taken lightly. So this is why we struggle. Because if I'm going to embrace someone as Christian, we may disagree on some minor issues. And I do disagree with some of my Christian friends on minor issues. The core issues, we are in total agreement. But on some of the minor issues, the peripheral issues, the secondary issues, we might have, you know, disagreements and a topic to debate and discuss sometime. But at least I can join hands knowing that this is a fellow brother in Christ, that when we die, we are both going to enjoy the same blessings that God has offered all his believers. But Mormons don't look at it that way. See, Mormons don't look at it that way. They look at it as, well, I'll give you the name of Christian. Thank you. But you're not going to go where I'm going to go.
Well, you got to be careful, because if you ask them, am I going to go to heaven? See, this is where the language barrier comes in. And if you ask the Mormon, am I going to heaven? And they're going to say, of course you are. But they don't get into the details of the differences between the celestial, the terrestrial, and the telestial. And when you say, well, I'm saved by grace through faith, right? Oh, absolutely. General resurrection is what he's thinking of. He's not thinking of exaltation.
So when a Mormon tells you that they're Christians just like you, you respond by saying, oh, really? Does that mean that when I die, based on what I believe right now, I'm going to end up in the same place you hope to end up? Well, first of all, you might ask, well, where do you hope to end up? Because a lot of Latter-day Saints have no hope of getting into the celestial kingdom because they know that the requirements are much too stringent. No human being can live up to those standards.
Maybe they've read Spencer Kimball's book, The Miracle of Forgiveness.
It could very well be that they did read this, because we do know from personal example and talking with Latter-day Saints who have read this book, they find it to be very troubling. It causes them a lot of consternation, and it should. Because nobody is doing what is in this book. And if you talk to a Latter-day Saint who says he is, well, I can guarantee you he's violated Article 13 and he's not being honest with you.
Right.
Because nobody is doing everything that Kimball said that they must do in this book. I want to get across to you folks that if you think that Christianity goes beyond to the borders of Mormonism, just remember, can you have fellowship with a person who really thinks you're part of a great apostasy? Can you have fellowship with a person who thinks that you're not going to get the same blessings that he hopes to get? And that is, as they understand it, celestial exaltation. Well, personally, I don't want to be a god of my own world anyway. I don't see any fun in that to begin with. They talk about drug habits here. And in the book, we're going to skip the Word of Wisdom because we plan on doing a whole series on the Word of Wisdom in upcoming programs. But he talks about drug habits. And again, we would agree that drug abuse is a shame on America, that's for sure. And sadly, it is a part of many families, even professing Christian families. We find drug abuse among some family members. And Kimball rightly denounces that. And then he goes on in the last paragraph to say what? What does he say here? All such narcotic habits
should be repented of and ever after shunned.
Even sleeping pills, tranquilizers, and such, which were thought to be harmless, have sometimes brought injury and death. These might well be limited or avoided, and if used at all, taken only under the strict supervision of a reputable physician.
Bill, here in Utah, we have a tremendous problem with these kinds of drugs that are misused, and it's always in the news. About
mood-altering drugs, Prozac, Ritalin, is a major problem. These are prescription drugs. And let's be honest, you can't blame all this on the Gentiles that live here in Utah.
Because 60% of Utah plus is LDS, at least in name only.
So you can't blame it all on them. And again, it's so prevalent, it makes you wonder, what does the church have to do with this? Now, I know BYU did a study, and they said that it's not the church that's causing this. Well, if BYU is going to do a study, do you really think the average member is going to be totally honest, knowing that you're telling these very intimate facts to a person who's affiliated with the church and get it trickled back to the bishop? They probably weren't being honest. So you would need an independent survey to be taken in order to come up with a more truthful appraisal of this problem. But it is a problem, and it's not one to make light of. it's sad. It's sad. And it's among all, even some professing Christians, of course. And it's sad, and we shouldn't think of it otherwise. But still, it is a problem in the state of Utah. And I tend to think that it is the church that causes some of these problems. And some statistics actually bear that out.
Well, you're trying to do this an impossible task, and there's no way to do it. I think that's going to be depressing.
We're going to finish up here on page 59. Eric, we only have about a minute left here. He talks about lacking mercy. That's something that I've heard a lot of ex-Mormons say they found in the Mormon church, that if somebody was struggling or not living up to that high standard, there was not a lot of mercy shown on people like that. What do you do with that?
The last one he says, God abhors sin, and this is the verse he quotes, D&C 131. Although he loves the sinner, he cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. What Kimball has done here is laid out all the garbage. And then how do we get out of this dilemma? He's going to talk about this, and this is what this book is about. And I don't think it's very promising, Bill.
No, and that's a point that we often quote. We often bring up D&C 131 because a lot of Latter-day Saints tend to think that God is going to somehow overlook their shortcomings and sins and give them a pass into the celestial kingdom. Well, if D&C 131 is telling the truth, and I believe it is, I don't think God does look upon sin with allowance, then the Mormon is going to be in a lot of problems. It's how they get rid of that sin. How do they get rid of that burden of sin that is so, so important?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear past editions of more than 100 shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is available on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the box that says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.